Doctor Show.
You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it,
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 58, with your host, John X. Thanks for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. This is the second episode since I have come back from hiatus. Last week, we talked to Brandi Shigley, a person who inspires me with her energy, and her work is to inspire others. She empowers people to follow their dreams. She likes to say, turning dreamers into doers. Well, this week, I've got another inspiring presence. Someone who inspires, I think, in a slightly different way. And the nature of her work is to help those in need, and in need in a very specific way. What am I talking about? This week's guest is Andrea Antonioni, and she is a therapeutic musician. Now, what is a therapeutic musician? Or as she lists on her brochure, a certified music practitioner. Now, what this is she provides live acoustic music to those in hospitals, hospices, homes, memory care units, and other clinical settings. She provides a very gentle and quiet presence playing soothing music as a service to the patient, not entertainment. Now, that's very important to note because Andrea is at heart a musician and an incredibly talented musician. You get a sense for that on the podcast. You don't just get a sense for it. You understand it because she plays some tunes here on the podcast, and it's one of my favorite things that's ever happened on this podcast because Andrea has a gorgeous voice. She's delightful on the ukulele, and she plays the finger piano. That comes way towards the end of the episode, but I can see how her work is so vital and so helpful and so inspiring because just listening to her, I was moved almost to tears. At one point, she plays this Elvis song, and it brought me back to a place in my life where it was just very profound. And then she plays Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I don't want to step on this too much, but she plays these tunes and I immediately felt a calm come over me. And some of the benefits of having this, of being a therapeutic musician and live music, it can, you know, reduce blood pressure. It can stabilize the heart rate, decrease muscular tension. It relieves anxiety and stress, boosts the immune system, increases endorphins. I mean, there's just a ton to it. Simple companionship. When she talks about going into like nursing homes or, you know, people approaching end of life, some of them may not have had visitors. And Andrea is there to provide a soothing presence. She talks about playing at a resting heart rate tempo. And just sitting across from her, I go, God, you are just a beautiful soul and a wonderful person. And so to be able to feature her on the show is just a real privilege. And to listen to her play, I hope you have your headphones in, because you owe it to yourself to listen to this one on good headphones, because the tunes she plays and the way that she sings, it's just gorgeous. She's got a wonderful voice. She's incredibly talented. Now, how did I come across this person who does therapeutic music? Well, sometimes it's as simple as sitting on your front steps, just looking out at your street. And I was sitting there, and Andrea actually lives across the street from me. She comes over, and she asked what we were doing, and I told her about getting laid off, and I said, I don't even know what you do. And so she started telling me about it, and as she was describing it, I go, I have to have you on the show. Would you please be on the podcast? And she honored me with her presence, and I'm just thrilled to pieces to get to highlight this work, because as I say a lot on this show, there's so much work being done out there, and so little of it we actually understand. And so you think musician, you think probably pop star or something like that. Andrea is a musician in this very caring, very sort of helpful and conscientious way. And to get to highlight her work, as I said, I mean, I know I'm gushing a bit here, but I was just very moved by the type of work that she does. She's had music in her life since she was born. I mean, the way she describes it is her mother said she came out singing, which is just perfect. And for her to take her talents in this direction is just a real gift to those who get to experience Andrea playing and performing. I mean, she's not a performer. She is providing a service. She's very explicit. She's not there as an entertainer, but she's there to provide therapy through her music. So great, great episode coming up. And we'll make sure to plug Andrea at the back of the show because I want you to know where you can find her should you or someone you know need these services. So real quick, want to give some love to our sponsor, 4Degrees. Number four, degre.es. They provide all the technical support, the website design, the SEO, and everything that we need to run John of All Trades. They are the greatest. They will help you reach the consumer that you need to reach, and they will help you do it at an affordable rate. So give them a call, visit their website, 4Degrees, the number 4, degre.es. I don't know why I said give them a call. I mean, that's kind of weird, right? But you can find their phone number on their website. So go to 4Degrees. They are the proud sponsor of the John of All Trades podcast. Now then, I don't want to delay this any further because, and a quick note, I introduce her on the show as Andrea McGowan. And at the earlier, you heard me say Andrea Antonioni. She goes by both. She kept her maiden name, as my wife did. And so I knew her as Andrea McGowan. I realized she also goes by Andrea Antonioni. So it's Andrea Antonioni. It's Andrea McGowan. She is a therapeutic musician, and she shares with us her gift and her talents on episode 58 of the John of All Trades podcast, which starts right now.
After picked flowers first thing, and then I took
in that lovely garden that you have
in that lovely garden across the street.
Yeah,
you have the best view of.
Yeah, I really do.
You get to face it, and I love to share. So please come and pick.
Yeah,
I've
which
got
is
lots
awesome.
Of purple over there right now. This afternoon, actually, this is a free day for me. So what I'll be doing today is making some phone calls and working on a presentation that I'm doing at the time.
Related to this?
Yes, related to this. Absolutely.
Good. Yeah. Business development, always a challenge, right?
Yeah. As a self-employed, you know, I contract myself out, so I work for myself. But I wear many hats.
Yeah, yeah. You're not only the practitioner of what you do, but also bookkeeper, marketer.
Right.
What else? I mean, everything else.
Right. A lot of self-care goes into what we do because as therapeutic musicians, you have to have no stuff with you when you walk in. So like every day, part of what I do has to be, you know, some fitness,
right.
Gardening, you know, the things that give me pleasure, and mothering on top of that, you know, that's
right.
Full time. So that's all the time. That's the other hat. And yeah. And the other thing is professional development, you know, just keeping up on music.
Yeah.
And exploring the music, because as a therapeutic musician, we're learning how to explore new music, but in different ways, depending on the patient's needs. So it's ever changing and we're ever evolving, and we have to learn how to get better and better at that. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about it. We're talking, and by the way, I haven't even introduced you. This is Andrea McGowan.
Hi.
Here in my basement, and full disclosure, lives across the street. And after we had Grace, brought us one of the most, probably my favorite thing that anyone brought food wise. You guys just showed up with that like turkey pot pie almost.
Oh yeah.
That thing was amazing.
Oh good. Yeah, it was right. I just dropped off dinner.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And we ate it right there and we go, "Wow, this is really really good."
That was good timing, cuz you weren't sure what you're having for dinner that night. We literally
That's true.
Stopped in at the perfect
time. Yeah, no, that was outrageously good. And and you are a therapeutic musician.
Right.
So define that a little bit. What is that? You know, what do you do? Give us sort of the elevator pitch of what that is.
Okay. This is so great, by the way. I'm really honored and privileged that you asked me. This is really good.
Well, the origin of it was we were just talking and I didn't know what you did. We mm-hmm. you know, we were just we mm-hmm. live on the same street, so we were mm-hmm. just chatting and I go, "My God, like as I was listening to you describe this to me mm-hmm. when, you know, before we had the mics on, I go, I have to have you on the show."
Yeah.
Because I love getting into like just that's the origin of this show. You know, what do you do? How do you do it? How'd mm-hmm. you get into it? And there's so many different types of jobs and types of things that people do that you wouldn't otherwise know about. And this is one of them for me. So,
right. Thank you for asking. It's a great question. And it warrants a good answer. And it's a really simple one. Therapeutic musicians are musicians who are certified to provide the service of live bedside music for anyone, any age, that is sick, ill, with a chronic disease, dying.
Wow.
We help people transition. That's part of what we're trained to do. And we offer this service in all medical communities, be it hospitals, in hospice, in-home care, nursing, skilled nursing, memory care communities. And, you know, different music practitioners specialize in different things. Some specifically do just hospice. But, yeah, so that's basically, in a nutshell, what it is we do. We are musicians that, that come to the bedside when you're not well.
Yeah.
And we do music.
Do you have a specialty?
I have been through a few different things. In my internships, I was working in hospitals. That was part of our training, was we had to work in hospitals for a certain number of hours. And I have just found where my calling lies is in senior living communities.
Okay.
So I have been doing that for many years as a music performer.
Mm-hmm.
But what sets it apart now for me is that now I'm going into these same type of communities that I've been servicing as a as an entertainer and a performer for several years. Now I'm going in and I'm actually working more clinically based, like I'm really going and working one-on-one with residents who are dealing with struggles or pain management or, you know, you name it.
Yeah, yeah. How did you come to get into this?
Well, I'm a musician, and with, okay, so therapeutic musicians are different. People say often say, oh, so you're a music therapist, so you have you went to a music therapy program. And I'm not a music therapist. There is a difference between music therapists and what it is that I do.
Okay.
A music therapist is, first of all, it's a different, it's a different college program. It's a bachelor of therapy. So they leave with a 4-year degree in therapies. They use music in many different modalities to help people rehabilitate and oftentimes cure.
Right.
And obviously, that is not what we do. We come at it. We're strictly musicians first. A lot of us have MBAs. We have masters in teaching. We have, some of us are social workers. Okay. Nurses become CMPs. And so we're all about coming and providing live music. And that's how it started for me. I'm a musician. I've been doing it my whole life. My mother said I came out singing. I knew nothing but to do music. So music has always been how I've made my living. And
well, so take me through your history a little bit then. So you started in as a musician. You came out singing, according to your mother.
Okay, so I'm born.
Right. Right. That might be a little far back.
Oh, this is great. Here we go. Okay, so fast forward, and I got out of college. I have a degree in jazz.
Okay. Did you play in bands and stuff?
Yeah.
Like in the band in high school
Total
and
geek.
College?
Complete geek.
Like, so, like jazz band, marching band?
Both.
Rock bands? Anything like that?
I wish.
Okay.
I wanted to be a drummer, and I didn't become a drummer until later on, actually, during college and then through and can continue to be a percussionist. But at any rate,
yeah.
Graduated with a degree in voice and saxophone. That's
nice.
Sort of started it for me. But I, you know, I really started doing music in church. That, you know, so from a heart place, music has always come from this place of it's what we did. We had music at home. We went to church on Sundays. My parents were both musicians. So a lot of that rubbed off on me.
And yeah, very sort of spiritual.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an absolute gift that was given to me. I mean, I was born with this gift, I believe. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but both my parents were very musical. And, you know, obviously they went on to live long lives with music throughout their lives. So so for me, music was like, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of funny because now I help people with music on a more clinical level. So it is all brain for me now. Now it's really, it's heart and brain. So it's mind, body, spirit. And that's what we do as therapeutic musicians. We bring all of that at the same time to our sessions.
Yeah, yeah, and sort of into harmony and
well, we don't perform. We go in and it's different every session, every moment. Within a session is going to be different. So what I like about this field is that I could take all those skills that I've learned over the years of being a musician and a performer and improvising. And then later on in my career. So, okay. So fast forward, you wanted to go through the, I don't want to bore everybody.
No. This part of what this show is the journey.
Yeah.
And I love the journey.
Okay.
And
that's
so,
cool.
Yeah. So you mentioned jazz was sort of your thing.
Yeah.
And you talked about improvising.
Yeah.
Who were your main sort of jazz inspirations?
Oh, gosh. So many. I mean, so many doors were open when I went off to college. And
where'd you go?
I went to a very small university right in my state, but there were great teachers there. And I...
What was it?
The University of Maine at Augusta.
Okay, great.
I studied under Dave Dempsey, this amazing tenor saxophonist who rubbed elbows with some of the greatest, Michael Brecker. In New York City, you know, he was just an incredible musician and a great, great mentor. And then I studied voice under a few different teachers there. Barbara London, who for years went on and taught at Berkeley and chaired the harmony departments there. And also studied with a vocal teacher named Marguerite Juneman, who was there for a little stint of time, who's actually from Colorado. So I had some great teachers and I learned a lot and it opened my eyes. And some of my favorites, boy, John... I have refallen in love again with, if you want to talk voice.
Sure.
Ella Fitzgerald for her amazing melodious bravery. Like she could just bounce all over the place with melody, and I just love that about her.
That's cool.
And Sarah Vaughan for her tone. I love her tone. I tend to like low, deep voices. I always loved her. I studied saxophone, so I was listening to a lot of saxophone players. Of course, Charlie Parker and you know, and I loved Bill Evans for his.
I didn't want to be cliche,
harmony.
But I wanted to ask about Charlie Parker.
Yeah, Charlie Parker. I mean, that's hard stuff. That whole era, whole genre of jazz, the bebop era. But boy, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane. You know, there's so many. Even people today in my own life today that influence me. My husband is a musician, and I get to listen to him all the time, and he influences me. You know, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder. You know, I grew up with Stevie Wonder, the Beatles. I mean,
you just pull it from everywhere.
I love all music, and so it's really come in handy being in this new field now because servicing people, you're talking about all ages. You're not just talking about one group of people. You're talking, although in senior living, of course, I do specialize in a certain age bracket. However, with that being said, that's changing a little bit as time goes on.
Well, and it's going to.
It's
going to evolve.
Continuing to, exactly. Yeah. Which is pretty cool when you stop to think about
it.
Like, you know, in 20 years, people are going to be asking me for Madonna tunes.
Right.
You know, and...
Right, yeah. Yeah, can you...
50 years from now, Taylor Swift and...
Right. Totally. But so 20 years from now, it's, you know, it's like, do you know any ABBA?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any AC/DC? Like
it's
Bon
happened.
Scott AC/DC.
Yeah, kind of Surfin' USA. You name it.
Yeah, do you know any Little Richard like that?
However, you know, with that being said... As therapeutic musicians, we don't necessarily, quote unquote, you can't see this, take requests. But what we do.
Yeah, you're not like a cover band.
Right. I'm not going in. I'm going in to like check out, I'm assessing the patient and I'm really trying to figure out what it is that they need. If it's a situation where there's really nothing clinically necessary to address, then I'm going to just play a song that I know will make them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if they're from the era of the Beatles, I'm going to probably pull out a Beatles song because I know that that's something that they're familiar with and that will make them feel good. And I love the Beatles. So
well, sure.
It's win-win.
Well, and who doesn't want to hear Blackbird or,
Totally. Exactly.
Whatever. You know, any sort of Beatles tune from that era is, it's going to be hard not to grab anyone with that.
Right.
So, okay, so after college, what happened next? You said you've been a musician pretty much your whole life,
right? Yeah, I have actually.
And so, what different forms did that take for you?
Okay, so after college, I basically started touring with one band in particular. It was a big band, Latin big band. We played everything from 50s Latin-influenced jazz tunes that we would arrange for horns and percussion to Santana, just to cover all the bases. We did the wedding circuit. We did, clubs.
And I
did that for about 10 years.
Was it like Herb Alpert, that kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, it could be. It was, Perry Como. We would cover tunes like Papa Loves Mambo.
Oh, cool, yeah.
We would cover, Tito Puentes. I played the timbales and a lot of handheld percussions, but I also led the band in voice.
Nice.
Three or four part horn section, you know, bass drums, guitar, keyboards. So it was a really big band. So it was very opposite of what I'm doing now.
Clearly, yeah.
And so I did that for 10 years. I did the whole wedding circuit and I kind of burned out, but then I came back around and I decided that I really approached it as, I really started to think of it as more of my ministry.
Okay.
I started to take a different approach. I had started to have children. I started to look at it in a different way. And so it was less of a performance pressure for me that I put on myself and more about, I just really want to make this day really special for these people.
Sure.
And this is their wedding. Oftentimes it was weddings.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Most of the time, and I'm from Maine.
Yeah.
We do the wedding circuit.
Okay.
Because you got to, you know, you take any job you can, and the biggest circuit that expands that is the wedding circuit.
Sure.
So you would start hopefully doing weddings in April, early May, right through fall, you know,
September, October.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So that was great. And so, yeah, I did that for 10 years and I loved it. I learned a lot, played with some incredible musicians.
Yeah.
Learned a lot.
You know, I've always wondered about that because I thought about at the holiday party I went to, everyone knows I just got laid off from my big corporate job, but, you know, they would hire like a cover band and, you know, you wonder about it and it's like, I wonder how many of those folks, it was their full-time gig.
Right.
You know,
I
wonder how many of them, you know, were sort of doing it on the side and, you know, you show up, you play, you know, you play some Outkast, you play some Maroon 5, you play whatever, like you mm-hmm. sort of play the hits. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wondered, are you guys able to sustain yourself with, you know, corporate gigs and weddings and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And you're certainly living proof of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there were people I'm like, okay, you know, do you do like a day job? Do you, you know, do mm-hmm. you work for FedEx or something?
Yeah, you do. You do. Oftentimes, I mean, without selling your soul.
Yeah, of course. But you got to pay the rent.
You got to pay the rent. Yeah. I mean, you have to be responsible. Was that
the case for you? I mean, were you able to sort of like make that your only gig or, you know, was there side stuff?
Yeah, I worked, you know, before I even owned a house, I was totally a struggling musician, just, you know, trying to do as many performances as I could and fill the calendar. But it became, you know, clear that wasn't going to necessarily get me ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I'd always done administrative work through, you know, through high school and college and
sure.
sort of helped pay the bills then. And that was just something that carried through.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a natural progression. So I did that for a number of years, actually, on and off, worked for some pretty interesting companies. And so that helped. That definitely
right.
helped. And that enabled me to help buy, you know, buy my first house. And,
yeah, of course.
And then we had our first child and who's now 20.
Nice.
So it all worked out in the end.
Well, as someone who has put passion projects, done them on the side. I mean,
yeah.
I started my first website in 2008.
Right.
And I was writing every night. I'd go to work hard all day, and then come mm-hmm. home and have to sit in front of the computer again.
Mm-hmm.
When you sort of have your passion on the side, man, that grinds you down, doesn't
sure.
it?
Sure, it does.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. for 10 years, you're doing sort of the wedding circuit,
mm-hmm.
and you said you got a little burned out on that,
mm-hmm.
and you decided to make music your ministry. How did you make that transition?
Well, through some soul searching, you know, through some, you know, some deep searching and just making some concrete decisions with my own self and what I was going to say no to and what I was going to say yes to from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, life changes. And for me, life changed quite a bit. So I just decided that I wanted to...
You're talking about your personal life.
Yeah, my personal life. Right. I went through some personal changes and found myself with my son at the age of 6, just kind of starting over.
Yeah, yeah.
And got a phone call from a friend of a friend who knew that I was a singer and thought that I would be the perfect person to come in and do a presentation for this community of people at a Jewish community facility in Portland, Maine, where I lived at the
yeah.
time. So that sort of started a whole big shift for me. And that was the beginning of me deciding, I really like this. I like being able to hear myself. I like being able to talk to someone one-on-one and have a conversation with them and look them in the eye and sing them a song and see how it affects them
yeah.
so profoundly. And so one thing just rolled into another, and all of a sudden I just found my calendar just filling up with a lot of different communities that I was playing for.
Wow.
Yeah, it just really unfolded quite naturally.
That's really cool. Like, it, yeah. And God, you never know where it's going to come from.
Yeah, one phone call.
Yeah, just friend of a friend,
mm-hmm.
a whole new sort of mm-hmm. life course for you. Mm-hmm.
Something that I hadn't even considered, but yet I felt like I was the perfect fit for it because, you know, as a kid, I was always under my grandmother's elbow and my mother's elbow. Like I was, and it was usually with music. It had always had something to do with music. And so I found myself now in a different position where I felt like I could just be giving back. And I was good. I was really good at it. Like
you just took to it.
I just really took to it. I just fell in love with them.
Cool.
Just fell in love with them. I would leave with goosebumps. Every time. So I knew something was right. You know, when your hairs stand up, you know something feels right.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of that. And then fast forward about to 2012. And I'd been doing that circuit working in these communities since about 2000 to 2012.
Still like in the Northeast?
Yeah, I'm living in the Northeast.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm in the Northeast until 2004. I remarried in 2004.
Okay.
And completely left everything behind, my practice that I'd built up in those 4 years, and moved out west with my new husband to California, my son and I, and began homeschooling my then 10-year-old. And while my husband worked on his doctoral.
Wow.
In music at USC.
Man.
So here I am in LA, you know, this country Maine girl,
right.
And in living in Pasadena, California. And I thought, okay, here I go. So I just started calling places and introducing myself and what it is that I do. And I built up a practice almost instantly, actually before I even moved there.
No kidding.
I had clients already before I even arrived. So that was pretty neat.
What do you attribute that to? Just getting out there and cold calling and hustling and...
It's like being, it's, you know, there's no difference, I think, in putting energy out. I think you get things that come into you with the energy that you put out. And I felt like I was putting out good energy with integrity in everything I did with this work. And so I think the universe sees that and has no choice but to bring it to you, you know?
Yeah.
I really believe in that. And so that's what I did. I just called these people. I said, this is what I do. This is who I am. Here's my brochure. And they said, oh, please come. When will you be here?
Nice.
So that was the beginning of that. And, you know, and I had a 10-year-old son at the time that I homeschooled. So I really had to get creative and I had to, you know, and it's LA.
And you don't know anyone.
And you don't know anyone.
I mean, you're brand new in this community.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's tough.
And so as a business person, you just start cold calling, you know, you do what we do. You call and you just introduce yourself and tell them who you are. And so that began that for me. We were out there for a few years and I homeschooled my son at the time and also became certified to teach early childhood music to a preschool age kid because I found that I needed to be working more hours. And so in order to expand more hours, I needed to...
You got to expand the client base.
I had a friend who offered me this job and she says, all you need to do is go get certified in this. So I thought, you know what? I have a kid right now. I'm schooling. This is kind of in alignment with what I'm doing. This will be a good balance. I won't be doing too much of one thing. I'll sort of balance it out. And it worked out great. So I had three preschools that I worked at out there. And then I worked in the afternoons and in the evenings, oftentimes during sundowning, we call it in healthcare, with, you know, elder friends.
Yeah.
In senior care.
Wow.
So I was a busy woman.
Yeah, no joke.
Los Angeles does that to you, though.
Really?
You get out there and there's this real feeling of expansiveness there, I think.
Yeah. Well, geographically, certainly. Okay.
Because there's some people who believe in stars and alignments of things that actually you are destined to be more in one place than you are another. Things will fall into place more for you than in other places. And for me, it worked out really great in California. I felt really at home there. I made friends right away. I loved the landscape. I loved the ocean. It was a whole new ocean for me.
Much different weather too.
Completely, completely. I felt like I walked into Oz. No, really. I left January of 2005 from freezing cold Maine
right.
out to LA in the middle of the winter, and it's warm and everyone's wearing shorts.
So it was like Dorothy opening that
yeah.
door. And nice.
Yeah. So it felt good. It felt really good.
And what's not to like? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. So that began that. So then fast forward to, so then Sean graduates, my husband, my wonderful husband. He was the only one with a job that day at graduation at USM when, USC, when Randy Newman, who I love, hands him his, you know, his diploma, his doctoral robe and all of that. And he's the one with a job. And so then that brought us to Denver. And here we are.
Wow. And what does he do that brought you out here?
He is a guitarist. He's a finger style jazz guitarist.
Wow.
And he runs the music department, the guitar music department down at CU Denver.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the job of a lifetime for a guitarist. I mean, we feel so blessed. So again, we feel like this was where we were meant to be. We really love being here and it's just been perfect. So I brought my practice to here. And we moved here in 07. And then for the next 5 years, my mom began to go downhill. And so to fast forward brings me and my career to where I am now.
Sure. Okay.
In terms of like really honing in on, okay, where am I going with this? And my circumstances brought me.
Yeah, no, of course.
That,
and,
so.
And anytime you have a personal connection, it's only a natural fit that you go, okay, yeah. I know sort of how that's one of the reasons part of my consulting firm has to do with public speaking because people have so much anxiety about public speaking.
Oh yeah.
And I have now professionally, the company I was working for coached over 300 people. I saw over 1200 speeches when I was a public speaking instructor in college.
Hmm.
And so I know public speaking and I feel like I can shepherd people through that. So you going through this with your mom, it makes sense that you'd go, I want to do this for other people.
Yeah.
So it means something to you
because
you have a personal connection to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
the best reasons of all.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm curious to get into now is I'd like to talk about it. That was incredibly illuminating because the path of a professional musician, you know, you see sort of you see musicians in sort of one light. You know, it's usually like pop acts. You know,
if
you're sort of uninitiated, you know. And you ask, when you think of a musician, who do you think of? And people will call something to mind. But there are so many different types of musicians, and there are so many different types of jobs that you can do. I mean, when you described what your husband does, you know, he's the department chair. He's a, what was it, fingerstyle?
Fingerstyle jazz, yeah.
Fingerstyle jazz guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I don't think I've heard those words in that order ever, just because it's not my world.
Sure.
And so what I'm curious about is...
And it's not in the Academy Awards.
No,
and it's not in, you know, it's not in the pop culture as we know it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, so hearing about that, I just go, wow, there's just so much out there. And so with the bulk of our time, I'd like to get into sort of what do you do? You know, how do you do it? And so take me through sort of what a therapeutic musician does when you show up at one of the places where you practice.
Okay. So if I were to come, let's say, to one of my communities that I service, you know, without violating any HIPAA laws, I'm not going to be naming any names. I'm just, we're speaking completely generic here. Let's say you're a resident or a patient, at a community that I'm servicing and you, are sitting alone. Oftentimes they're sitting alone.
Okay.
And so what I do is I go in and I roam and I look for them.
Okay.
And I usually set an intention before I'm even there to bring them to me, like help me find them because, you know, they're mobile. They're always moving. And so I find them sitting alone, perhaps, and I might come up to them and just, you know, look someone in the eye and try to get contact with them and ask them how they're doing. And if I get no response, let's say I will just sit down and I'll say, I'm here to do music. Would you like to listen to a song?
Yeah.
And oftentimes they won't, you know, if they're non-vocal and they don't say anything, it's still ethical for me to introduce myself and say, you know, I don't just go in and barge in on their space.
No,
I have to ask and I say hello and I check in with them. And then oftentimes, you know, they never say no. most often they don't say no.
Right.
It depends on the situation though. If you're in a hospital setting, that can be a different story.
We can raise that if that's easier.
So it depends on, you know, if I'm in a hospital setting, I might have to knock on 5 or 6 doors before someone says yes.
Sure.
However, in my line of work in senior living, they're there, they're sitting in a chair, they're ready. They're ready to receive.
Well, and of the requests that people would make, would you like me to play, would you like to hear some music? That's right. Probably one of the better requests that they're going to have that day, right? So,
yeah, because oftentimes, it depends on who you go visit, but, they might not have any visitors. You might have been the last visitor they saw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You just don't know. I mean,
that's true.
To combat that loneliness and that boredom, music is a great tool for that. And it can, as we have found clinically, it affects blood pressure. It affects, it balances. Basically, it creates homeostasis in the body, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. That's our goal. As therapeutic musicians, our goal is to go in and create balance moment to moment while we're with them. So I might just sit down and just start. I'm not even sure I'm in tune right now, John. Hold on. We were talking about earlier, maybe they're of the era where they would know Elvis Presley.
Yeah, yeah.
So I might just start singing very quietly. Oftentimes I might start out humming because sometimes a lyric can be actually not comforting. It can actually can be stirring.
Yeah, it can be jarring.
It can be jarring. It
sure.
can affect them in negative ways. So you, like I said, as improvising musicians, we have to constantly adjust.
Yeah.
That's what we as therapeutic musicians, we're adjusting.
So you just start playing some chords?
Right. So I just start strumming and see how they react to it. And then if it's positive, I'll just go into a song. Let's say, wise men say, only fools rush in, for I can't falling in love with you. And so sometimes there's more space than there might normally
yeah, yeah.
be in like a performance type setting. And that's more of a typical, what I just did right there is what we call like a resting heartbeat tempo.
Yeah.
And if I do 10 or 15 minutes of that, I probably will put them asleep. And that's a good thing.
Right. Well, the thing that was amazing about that was you went into that song. I didn't know which song you were going to go to. But music is so powerful because that took me back to high school.
Oh, cool.
And because, they did like the choir would go around and do valigrams. And that was one of the songs they sang.
Yeah.
So I was immediately like transported and I have the privilege of listening to it in my headphones. So
oh,
it was
good.
Amazing. So no, and you have a lovely, lovely voice.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was.
I'm honored. Thank
that
you.
That was lovely.
Thank you very much.
So I could see why people would just go, yes, please, please keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, I might, it's always adjusting and always ever changing and. A song can cause a real positive change and it can, like I said, can go the other way. So like if someone starts crying, perhaps let's say during a song, I might adjust and check in with them and make
right.
sure they're okay. And if they are and they say keep going and they have this cathartic moment, what comes out of that on the other side is actually a release of feelings.
Yeah.
And they feel better.
Sure.
And that's what, that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's also a good thing.
That's a good thing. So, yeah.
So do you keep it, do you generally keep it pretty mellow, pretty low key like that? I mean.
Yes.
Because you said that's sort of a resting heart rate tempo. I mean, is there ever a cause to sort of play something more up tempo?
Yeah, if I were in a situation where there's, let's say I'm in a hospital and someone's being released that day, then, they're in a good mood, they're feeling good, they're not needing stabilizing, they're, you know, they're not hooked up to any monitors. They're just in a good mood because they know they're just waiting for those papers to show up so that they can sign off and get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
So I might play something way more upbeat. You know, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that.
Yeah, that's a toe tapper. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's an example. You know, that's a song that if you're in a good mood, no matter what your age is, it's going to feel good.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's an example.
And I think now most people have heard that sort of that version by I can never remember the artist's name. It's very long, right?
Right. His nickname is Iz.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's such a lovely version of that song.
I know. It's a special song. And I get that song requested a lot, when they see the ukulele.
Ukulele.
Oh.
Yeah.
Iz.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, again, the power of music. I mean, you see an instrument and you're immediately transported to, oh, a song. A very specific song.
Yeah, you're emotionally sort of connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is not only your biggest challenge in terms of doing this, but I suspect there's got to be some headaches with bureaucracy in terms of some of the organizations with which you deal, but also in terms of, is it challenging seeing people going through struggles or going through end of life? You know, how do you sort of deal with that?
Well, it's not for everybody. I mean,
okay,
I think that I have found with all my colleagues that I've met, we are all musicians coming from this, from different angles of life, but all musicians, and we're all called. We just all felt called to this work. For me, it was through the transition of my own mother and the struggles as a family going through hospice with her. And then, so that was like a light bulb for me that went on, where it felt like everything lined up, like everything that I've done, everything that that's been cumulative till now brought me to this place. So for me, it's self-care. You know, it's hard. You know, we're trained to let go. You know, we're there to just be with them in the moment and help them with their struggle in that moment and then to let go. Otherwise,
you can't carry that back home, right?
Right, exactly. And everyone has their own forms of self-care. For me, it's walking or aqua aerobics. Don't laugh, everybody.
Working in the garden.
Gardening. Yeah. Cooking. Those are the things that make me, you know, fill me back up. So, and, you know, and then there's always the struggles of any line of work, you know, just finding the work and that learning curve of marketing and, you know, the medical industry. So now all of a sudden here I'm a musician.
Right.
And I am in the same room with directors of marketing programs and directors of senior living communities.
Yeah.
And they're not bar owners. They're not.
Right.
We're talking administrators. And if you want to break into the hospital field, you're talking about hospital CEOs and CFOs. And that's a whole nother. And then there's the whole grant, you know, there's the whole grant piece where if you want to go down that path, you can as well. And so, yeah, so those are some of the more challenging hats to wear.
Yeah. It's interesting to me. I'm struck by what you said, and I've heard this come up from time to time on the podcast, but mm-hmm. I was preparing one of our engineers. He was getting ready to make a big presentation to, I think, like city of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I said, what was your major in college? And he said, chemical engineering. And I said, when you were a chemical engineering student at Texas A&M, did you think you'd ever be doing this much public relations? And he said, absolutely not.
Right.
And it's so funny because everyone has their vocation, but everyone has all this other stuff that they have to do too. And you don't generally get trained for that. That's all stuff you have to learn on the fly. And that, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. that is incredibly challenging. And one thing I'm wondering about, how much of your time do you actually mm-hmm. get to, you know, be a musician, be a therapeutic musician versus how much time is spent pursuing that,
right,
and doing the things in service of that.
Right. Well, it's all a balance for sure. Like I have to sort of budget out time. You know, I'm a full-time mom and I've had a lot of help. You know, I've been learning a lot as I go. Let's put it that way. It's, like I said, it's been a learning curve. So one thing I've learned is that in terms of budgeting my time, if I don't spend energy every, let's say I'll look at my calendar 6 months down the road and let's say quite busy.
Yeah.
And I'll look back 6 months and I'll say, oh, I put out a lot of calls. I budgeted this many hours.
Okay.
And 6 months later, I'm this busy. Now I find if there's periods where I'm not quite so busy, I look back, then I haven't been putting out as much energy, making enough calls, sending out enough brochures, you know, just making enough connections, you know, because you get busy, life's busy. So
sure.
It's definitely, if I could tell you how much, I would say every week I try to make, you know, new calls and try to reintroduce myself to people
touch
that
new
don't
people,
know me.
Yeah,
touch new people every week. You know, every week, like for instance, this week I just did a session with a community nearby and somebody asked me for a couple pieces of music that I felt would totally be appropriate. And so now this week I'm going to be working on those tunes. Like I have to keep up all the time with a little bit of all of it, really. And I just ended up, recently took a CEU, you know, as certified therapeutic musicians, we have to keep up on our continuing education units.
Of course.
And so I just took a unit this past weekend, on marketing.
Wow.
You know, because I need to learn more about that.
Sure.
And it's fascinating. But I really don't know enough about it, so.
Yeah, no, of course. One of the things, as you described it, if you look back 6 months, you say, wow, I made a lot of calls then.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the metaphor I was drawing from that is farming.
Right.
You know, you look at the yield that you're
right.
bringing in. Well, you sowed all that.
That's
you did
right.
all the plowing. You did all the
That's
all
right.
the front end work.
That's
and
right.
And you're reaping what you sowed.
Perfect analogy.
And I mean, I guess you could say the same for gardening. Like
That's
you look
right.
at your garden.
That's right.
And you go, man, I don't have a very good garden this year. Well, I didn't have the time to sort of tend to it.
Right. You're right, John. I think that's a perfect analogy. I love that. I've always hated that saying, oh, let's kill two birds with one stone. It's like, no, don't say
gross.
That. Plant two flowers with one seed. That's what I've always said.
I like that. That's much more, that's much more gentle.
Ew, who'd want to kill a bird? Much less two birds with a stone.
Unless you're in the wild or something and you need to survive, I guess. I don't know.
True. Right.
I mean, that might be one way of doing it, but, I've never been presented with that situation where I have to kill any birds.
Well, we certainly have enough geese around here.
God, no kidding. yeah, you go to the park and we had my parents' dog and she's white and she just rolled all in it. So
lovely.
And we go, oh, good. Okay, so we're going home now. And we had to borrow dog shampoo from our neighbors.
Yes, 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 Denver.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, so you're absolutely right. I feel like... It is exactly that. It's a matter of you get out what you put in and you keep the integrity of the music strong all the time. You're making calls, you're introducing yourself, you're building new relationships.
Yeah.
You know, that's always going to yield to something.
Sure.
Some, you know, today's conversation, you know, with you is going to yield to something for you, hopefully.
And for you.
And something for me.
That's right.
And I like that. I like that about working for myself.
I do too, and I'm learning that because I'm constantly. I mean, since I've been on my own now, the energy is just intense. I mean, I can't just sort of sit down and look out the window for a while because I'm always thinking like, what could I be doing in service of my goals? Because I mean, honestly, I could sit down here and talk into this microphone all day, but what am I getting for that? Like, I have to go out and I have to find guests. And I was fortunate enough that you happened to live across the street from me.
That was fun.
But you never know where it's going to come from. You didn't know I had a podcast.
No, I had no idea.
And so, you know, you could just play music in your house all day. But what benefit, you know, is anyone reaping from that? I mean, sure, it's pleasurable for me to talk into this mic. It's pleasurable for you to play music.
Right.
But ultimately... You don't get a lot from that. So all the other stuff is in service of doing that in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always struck by, no matter who it is, every person I've talked to on this show now has said that their goal, like, it's important to have a dream and it's important to do what you want to do, but everything that you do is hard work. Yeah. Like, everything that you do, there's a ton of ditch digging associated with it.
That's right.
So, you know, listening to you, I go, God, the way you played that was so lovely, but she's out there making calls just like everyone else.
That's right.
And so just hustling and getting it done. And that's really cool. And it's really inspiring.
Thanks.
So we're going to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. A couple of rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
So these should be fairly simple.
Okay.
But maybe not. When you are playing, do you have any songs that are your absolute favorites, go-tos?
Yeah, absolutely. And therapeutic music, absolutely, for sure. Do you want to know what they are?
Oh, I do.
Well, you know, all people can associate to a lullaby of some kind. So I have a series of lullabies that I tap into because we like three-quarter time. It's a nice pulse. It feels good. So I've got several of those that are my go-tos. You Are My Sunshine is a go-to.
Oh, that's a great song.
It's a timeless song.
Yeah. Oh, man, that one's spectacular. When you are not doing therapeutic music, what are some of your favorite tunes to listen to, either at home, while you're gardening, while you're in the car? What are some of your favorite tunes?
I like a lot. There's definitely some out there I will not be listening to.
Sure.
But, you know, I like, for instance, in my car right now, Jim Lauderdale.
Okay.
He's a songwriter from Nashville. People might not know who he is.
Yeah.
But he has written a lot of great songs. And, you know, he would fit into the country category.
Okay.
So you might find me listening to some really great, you know, as long as it's a really great song and it tells a story and it's sincere.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like listening to, I love good jazz music. I love world music. I'm a big world music fan. I love learning about cultures through their music. So I'm a big fan of that type of music. You know, I might have Kuvo on because they are always playing everything under the sun. And my family's a big Jack Johnson fan. So if we're in the right mood, we'll be playing Jack Johnson while we're out in the gardening. But, you know, in my backyard, John, when I'm gardening and I really need some motivation, you might hear Rush. Hear some Aussie. You might just hear some 80s rock because...
Beautiful.
Because, you know, I'm an 80s girl at heart.
Cool.
And I got to get the job done. So for me, it's a motivator.
Yeah. Throw in a little Def Leppard Hysteria, something like that. Who knows, right?
Will I be doing it in a session? Probably not. However, I have had grown men ask me for Leonard Skinner.
Okay. Yeah.
So there you go.
They weren't doing like the old like... you know, when you troll a musician, you know, they're like, what do you guys want to hear? And everyone shouts Freebird.
Oh, yes.
You know, I hope they weren't doing that to you.
Well, not shouting it out, but I've had people ask for it.
Oh, wow. That's too funny.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, everyone's going to ask for Freebird.
It's part of being a musician. Just be ready.
Noted. God, that's funny. If people want to learn more about you... Where can they find you? Do you have like a website, an email address? Is there a best way to contact you if they want to, someone's out there and says, wow, you know, we could use these services.
Yeah.
Where might they find you?
Absolutely. I do have a site. It's a WordPress site.
Great.
Since I'm just getting my practice started, I've just been developing a really basic site for people to go to actually become informed about what it is I do and find a place to contact me, obviously. And you can also download my brochure there.
Cool.
There's a printable version right there. So you can find that on AA Voice Music. Really simple. aavoicemusic.wordpress.com.
Very good.
And then, yeah, I can be reached through that. So.
Okay, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So, and then one last request. Would you play something that you really like to play us out of here?
Sure. And one of the other instruments that I've fallen in love with over the years when I discovered these instruments are thumb pianos. So I was really excited when I got certified. I thought I'm going to be using this instrument because I love this instrument so much.
All right, cool. Thank you.
somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a place that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops high above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly, birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly away above the rainbow, why can't I?
Thank you so much, Andrea, and continued success to you.
Thank you. You're welcome. My pleasure.
That wraps up episode 58 of the John of All Trades podcast with Andrea Antonioni. And I feel bad even cutting in with this music that you hear in the background. Frying pan to the face after that beautiful rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Andrea Antonioni. I mean, good Lord, what a beautiful spirit, what a wonderful person, and an inspiring presence to have here on the John of All Trades podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do, and thanks for being on the show. And thanks for being my neighbor, because you're a wonderful neighbor, and I adore living near you. So, that'll do it for this week. I mean, what can I say? I almost hesitated doing an outro here, because I adored her music so much, but convention dictates that we have to wrap up the show, and I have to make with the shameless plug. So, John of All Trades is on Facebook, J-O-A-T Pod, also on Twitter, J-O-A-T Pod. The website is johnofalltrades.us. We are syndicated on iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to download us there. Every new episode will come directly to you. You don't have to do any work. That's the best way to do it. And we get new episodes all the time. So hit us up there. As long as you're there, please give us a rating and a review. Those things help us climb in iTunes. Now then, next week's episode, tease it on Monday, goes up on Wednesday. This is a production of Deft Communications. Find us at Deftcom, DEFTCOM.US. And until then, say goodnight, Tracy.